Neither of us are gay. Wink, wink, what you wish. We're making out.
Now, is it just running on HBO every time now?
Yeah.
That's like their big movie, which is weird because I don't...
They just got Gone Girl, so that's happening a lot.
Have that?
I've seen bits and pieces. I do like it.
Very good movie.
Yeah, it is good.
I mean, the end's kind of...
I haven't seen the end.
How far have you gotten? Has she met Patrick Harris?
Yeah, she's at his place and he's starting to get super creepy.
Okay.
Well, I mean, she watched the interview. He already got super creepy and was like, there's no way out, Tuts.
I'm just going to tell you now, don't worry. She wins back the craziest person award. If you were worried he was going to snatch that away from her at the last moment. No, she ends up the winner in that one too. No, that's a very good movie, but very disturbing. It was funny to see it with Terry. Because, like, she's super excited. She's like, I heard the movie has a new ending. I'm so excited because I love the book and I see what they do. And she's like, getting to the end, she's like, this must be where the twist comes in because that's what happens. And, like, gets the last scene of the movie. She's like, that's exactly what ends in the book. I've been hoodwinked. I was like, it's still very good. She's like, I was promised a new ending. Turns out she was never promised that. Terry just read an article wrong.
I've liked what I've seen. And you're right, the scenes with Tyler Perry, I do like. It does break it up. Like, okay, here's an actual train that moves forward.
And a train moves forward, and the one person in the movie who just, like, comments, like, yo, white people are crazy. This is, you all are fucked up. This is insane. Y'all looking at yourselves? All of you. Just irredeemable fuckheads.
I don't get why she starts gaining weight after like 3 days on the run. It's like she eats like 2 hamburgers and she's like, I'm getting puffy and gross.
Yeah, especially because her life before that too is pretty like, it's not like she has a job, I don't think. She didn't have a, she sat around at home drinking wine. So, I don't know. But I don't want to get too much into it without getting this.
And I haven't finished it.
Yeah, I haven't finished it. I'm just like, isn't it crazy? Ben Affleck then turns into Batman and kills her.
Like, really? Yeah, it's a prequel to the new Batman.
Although it is kind of funny that, you know, it is like a point in the movie that she's just like, you have a villain's chin. He's like, well, this is going to be Batman's chin in the future, baby.
Unless they edit it out.
Make me look like a fool. Welcome, brother. It's been a while. It's been a while.
Actually, this is probably one of the least amount of downtime we've had. So we just did the tarot.
That was like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, but we usually only do one of these a month, feel like.
Just commenting, it's been a while. You need to get on my dick about it.
It's like, it's been a while since we goofed around and bullshit. We did that 10 minutes ago.
We did have like a 30-minute conversation about like the Jewish Frankie Valli.
We should have almost just done a whole podcast on Jersey Boys.
I should just keep a recorder around with me. Like the moment a conversation starts getting wacky, like boop.
I've been thinking about this, like, when we actually get a living room kind of set up down here, I was thinking, like, we should do, like, a DVD commentary for a random movie. Maybe that'll be the one.
For Jersey Boys? Oh my god, I'm gonna need, like, a cup of coffee and a newspaper, maybe a couple toilet breaks.
We can split it up, definitely.
Maybe break it up, do something else with my time, maybe read the Bible.
But like any movie.
Something quick in comparison.
Usually commentaries are by people that have done the movie.
Yeah, have some experience with it. I have been in 2 movies, though, we can do commentaries on. I mean, they're Channel Awesome Productions.
Oh, okay.
Kickassia and... I don't even know if the first one had a name. Battle Nerds or something like that. Something weird.
But I would like to think of a movie. I mean, we could do Jersey Boys just to shit on it the entire time. Although that makes the audience who wants to really enjoy it actually have to watch Jersey Boys.
I still don't mind Jersey Boys. I still think it's like a decent enough movie, but it is like, this is really long and shouldn't have been made into a movie.
It's okay. It's crazy that I've caught 45 minutes of it at various points and there's almost been no overlap. Like, that's how long this movie is. I caught like 1 hour and 15 minutes of the middle and it didn't touch with any of the beginning or the end.
Yeah, no, it's not a movie that you just like are gonna peek in. You're like, oh, I've already seen this. Like, no, it's the Iliad of HBO movies right now. You're just like, this is so thick. Some of this could have been cut, right? It has like 7 false finishes where you're just like, now it's done. Band's broken up. It's gonna end here. Oh, his daughter's dead. Well, this seems like the tragic downward slope, and he's gonna have a song for his daughter. This is gonna show he's recovered from it. All right, they're at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Surely this is the end. This is literally the end of their careers.
They're 60.
No, there's still more after that. It's a ridiculous...
Every character got his like last like, hey, you know what? It's been a wild ride. Even the fourth guy who you didn't give a shit about anyway.
Is what, Bob? Oh, yeah, that's the one who, like, his sole, like, defining characteristics, like, he pees on towels and leaves them in the bathroom or something like that. What was it?
I don't know. He's the one that had to room with Tommy. And that's, like, he just doesn't wear underwear. So he wears, like, the same pair of underwear for days.
It's... Something stupid like that. Like, yeah. He fucking throws his towels everywhere. Doesn't pick them up.
If his agent submitted a scene for, like, a Best Oscar nomination, that would have been it. Because it's the only time he's just not like, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, like, I'm the fourth one.
Hey, Mr. Kennedy.
Oh, that's right, they do. God, I forget how long that movie is. There's like 18 musical numbers. You're like, it makes sense. It's a musical group. It's a musical movie. It's like, wow, this really, you could tell you just took this right from the play. You're just like, I'll just build a 360 set, essentially, around this. With no intermission.
Exactly.
And because I'm Clint Eastwood, a shit ton of people will go and see it.
Yeah.
And he was right. Although my movie theater, when I saw it, because I saw it in theaters, was very much like just the elderly.
Oh, yeah. That's been like an old Dago festival for years. Like, that's Sopranos. Like, every like character's mom is like, oh, Jersey Boys.
So you're saying like Aunt Lynn right now is just like, Sean, Jersey Boys on again? She's like, yes, mother.
Oh, it's so good. Oh, she likes this one because the lead actor's super Jewy.
She's like, I love that Frankie Gefilte fish. It really speaks to me.
Gefilte fish.
Gefilte fish.
Slow mo Christ killer is Frankie Valley.
This is so perfect.
Oh, Sherry, won't you come out tonight?
Like, he does have the voice, though. You can't shit on him.
Yeah, well, I mean, that had to have been, like, people are pulling that
off? If he
off?
Didn't have that, could they have possibly... Like, he could be a mirror image of him, but for as Jewish as he was and he didn't have the voice, you'd be like, all right, now this is ridiculous.
Yeah, because the voice is really what makes that. That band, not forgettable, but, like, their hits could easily, like, you could just say it was any other doo-wop group of that time.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that, like, if you tell me, like,
oh, it's Sherry, the Four Seasons or whoever, you'd be like, yeah, sure.
You'd be like, I don't even know it's Sherry. You're like, it has that one part that's like, ay, ay, ay. Yeah. Like, oh, okay, now I remember it. Now it's all coming back together.
I remember being a kid thinking, like, that's a girl, right?
This, yeah.
The way a guy.
I think I had the same thing. Big Girls Don't Cry. Always thinking it was, a female group at saying that. Although I also mix it
the
up.
The Supremes.
Yeah. Raining Men. What's up, social girl?
That's the Weather Girls.
Oh my.
Look what you've started.
Now she wants to play. Get out of here. We're podcasting.
It's ruining the audio.
I know. I listened to the first moments of our last podcast where her and Odie are down there. I'm like, I'm glad we got rid of them because they were like, it was like really distracting. Scotia, you better be good.
Yeah, sit down on the carpet. She was being so good for a little bit.
So, anyway, you have Daredevil to talk about. I know you've mentioned like two months ago you finished Daredevil and apparently had something you wanted to bring up.
There's a lot I liked about Daredevil overall. Towards the end, it kind of phased out for me a little bit. Kingpin becomes kind of goes on like a downward spiral as far as, I mean, he still has a bunch of crazy scenes. But he does have
a great scene in the end where he has that story about the Good Samaritan.
Yeah.
And how he always thought he was that.
Yeah. And a lot of stuff like that, which is kind of cool. But he kind of spirals out. The fight between Daredevil and the ninja, which is so good, and ends on just the biggest popcorn fart of him. Like, he gets kicked in the nuts and like falls into an electric fence or something stupid and falls over. It's something like he gets short-circuited. Like,
the Red Ninja?
Yeah.
I thought Kingpin killed him. He, like, lights him on fire.
No, Daredevil does that.
And then he gets back up?
And then no, and he falls on the ground. Then Kingpin walks in after that's done.
Then what's... Did he get back up? When does this electric fence come into play?
No, there's no electric fence. But I think that it's... What does he do? I don't know. But Daredevil, after getting his ass kicked literally the entire episode by that ninja, Daredevil kicks him once and then like shorts out a light bulb over him and it shocks him, or that's what sets him on fire, and then he's like, I'm done. And
if I recall, he gets lit on fire and like still tries to put up a fight for a couple moments.
It's not much. It's,
I mean, if you're on fire though, you're not gonna.
It was such a one-sided fight until the last 5 seconds it becomes the other way. I sat there and I know exactly how you feel after you just struggled your way through Resident Evil 4 against that the horrible, not even the boss of the game, the mini-boss Kroger.
The boss of the third act. Or the, man, it was like four parts and he's the boss of the third part.
Like, you literally, like, looking for bullets on the ground just to shoot him.
It was, because it's, like, a very resource-intensive game. Like, ammunition is generally pretty scarce. You're meant to conserve your bullets. And I went into that fight with just not enough ammunition. He's a tough dude. You have to, like, really kind of space your things out. But when you beat the game, you have options to do a couple things. I had beaten it. Someone started up the game with an infinite rocket launcher and just one-shot this dude. It took me hours to beat. It's infuriating.
And I watched you hours of just you like, motherfucking God damn it. And then I'm like, kaboom, kaboom. He explodes. And do you remember exactly what you said?
I think it was just like a 20-second, like, lame.
Yeah. It's exactly what I did at the end of that Daredevil fight. Like, lame.
Scotia girl, you're getting all mouthy.
If that guy's not back, some shape or form, I mean, I guess he's the hand, so aren't there...
He's part of what... Actually, I don't think he is a part of the hand, because he's Japanese. I think Gao's group's supposed to be the hand.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Okay.
Although, he might have some connection to it, too. I don't know.
If there's not, like, a mystic thing that brings him back, I was like, that's pretty fucking lame that he's dead after... After whomping Daredevil for 45 minutes. Not 45 minutes, but literally the entire episode. Every cutscene's him kicking the shit out of Daredevil.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'd want to see him back. I don't know if he's supposed to be a particular character from anything, so I don't think they have any obligation.
I mean, they named him. I don't remember what his name was.
Hanzo or something Japanese.
Yoshi?
I mean, we just want to guess Japanese name. And like,
was it Benihana?
Toto Yoshi? Toyota? Samsung?
Katsuya?
What was his name? Mr. Roboto?
It was Mr. Fuji, definitely.
Master Chop Chop? Was that his name?
I thought that would be a more spirited debate, but I thought... I'm just saying.
I mean,
lame.
I didn't have any issue with it.
Lame.
I've got far more... bigger adversaries on Daredevil I've been spending my time combating. I have one friend online who's... Goomba's the easiest one to call him. He's a lovable doofbag, but he had like this argument. He's like, oh, I thought the end of the second episode of Daredevil was just pure bollocks. It wasn't good at all. It was like the fight scene in the hallway. It's a great scene.
It is
like,
very sweet,
but
yeah.
It didn't mean anything. I was like, saving a child. What did you want out of it? Oh, you don't even know the child's name. It's like 40 minutes of him just being a nincompoop. That you're just like, can I really waste my time arguing with this? Or should I just, I don't know, fly over to the Atlantic?
Give up and blow him.
Blow him. I'm like, stop talking about Daredevil. Like,
I win.
Yeah, now I'm the victor.
Child's Daredevil mask.
So we're using our Game of Thrones coasters again. This is a Game of Thrones household. I'm using what will probably be the last time we can have fond memories of King Stannis.
Well, there's no other Baratheon really coming up, so...
The last, like, real good Baratheon out there is Gendry. And he's considered a bastard right now, so...
Unless it hasn't been in, like, 2 seasons.
In the books, he's shown up again. The books, he's not the one that gets brought. There's like another fucking bastard over there, Roberts, that they use. So he's still in Westeros, and he appears in the 4th book. Brienne meets up with him real quick.
I feel like he'll show up again.
I think they are. He's used enough in the books, and obviously if they bother to include him in the show at all, he has to have some purpose.
Yeah.
So I imagine something will pop up with that.
Well, here's what... And I wish I had known at the end of the 4th season when Stannis shows up at the wall that was going to be like the highlight.
That was your peak of Stannis.
Certainly
life.
His pinnacle military.
Oh yeah, career. He looks great in that scene where they just charge out into the like from the light, blinding all the fucking wildlings and just crushes them.
Well, you don't see any battle at all in the show.
Yeah, the swiftest.
They're immediately like, all right, we're done.
the most swift and decisive military victory in Westeros by that
point. Like, is it even called a battle in the books?
No, they basically charge out of the woods with the sun's light behind them and just trample over them. I mean, I'm sure it's like an actual battle, but it's very quickly like, oh, we just won the shit out of this one, boys. Good job.
Men's Rider, stop blowing Sir Davos. One to your right.
Skosha, stop eating healthy food on the ground. She's certainly not eating trash. I don't want people to get bad for that. Stop eating that.
Stop eating that arugula.
Yeah, stop eating that pepperoni. Yeah, that's the technique. Are you eating it? Do I have to yell at you too? Mikey, don't eat that trash.
But it's pretty good. She's got a point.
Have you tried it? Maybe.
But indulge me for a second, because okay. This is what I thought, this is what I sincerely like hoped / 50-50 thought this season would be. I was like, all right, there's no long-term Stannis in power position. Like, he'll die making room for a much bigger character.
I think everyone thought they're like, this is a character who, from the very onset, is destined to never be on the Iron Throne. There's never a situation that's going to occur where he's king for more than a hot moment.
Yeah, like a placeholder at best.
Maybe like shit falls apart in King's Landing, he shows up and he's like, I take the crown, and like immediately like a White Walker just punches him through the chest from behind. Or
like Valchak become police commissioner at the end of The Wire. It's like, this won't last long.
Yeah, this isn't going
to
be.
It's empty, so we have to put someone there for the time being. But I thought like, he'll show up to the wall. He'll kill Roose Bolton in a sweet fight. Brienne or somebody will probably kill Ramses. They'll save that for someone bigger. He'll walk in, liberate Winterfell like a hero. Sansa will offer her pussy to him. Stannis, being too much of a gentleman, will pass on it because he's married, because his wife will still be around at the... He'll then collect various armies from... We'll see all those people that we haven't seen in a while, like Great John and...
The Mormons.
Yeah,
The Umberhall or Umberjohns.
All these giant Northmen. Follow him down to the Peaks. Is that what they call Walder Freys?
The Twins.
The Twins. He'll show up outside and be like, Freys, hand over Walder Frey and I'll spare the rest of you. And Walder Frey will be like sitting on top of the tower like... That desperate fool, he thinks my family is just going to... As they all just throw him over the cliff. Edward, Edward, Edward! Just giving Walder Frey no dignity on the way out.
Okay. Is that...
And then that's about as far... Like, maybe he makes it to River Run. Something stops him at some point. King's Landing has to show up with some kind of...
He's too well-loved and dies in his bed.
In a giant battle that, like, he kills 50 men on his way down.
Yeah, the mountain comes at it, like, the mountain's back. He squares off with the mountain in single combat, you know, finishes him off. Like, he takes some influence from the Red Viper battle he wasn't present at.
Yeah.
Make sure he cleaves his head off before succumbing to as many battle wounds from having to literally...
14 arrows.
Yeah, cleaving through their lines to get to the mountain.
Like, in a perfect statuesque pose before he lands. Like, oh, I hope somebody sketched that real quick before he died.
Yeah, and then, like, before he goes, he has, like, a heart-to-heart with Davos.
Yeah. You did good, Davos. And then looks at John like...
My onion knight.
The north is yours. Yeah.
He kisses him.
Instead of what we got, which I don't really feel like rehashing.
Instead of like, he basically gets the scenario you gave to Walder Frey, where you're just like, how can we murder all... How can we make this character look as sad and as miserable in his last moments as humanly possible?
It was pretty rough.
It's not without saying the books have really not given us... Like, he doesn't look like he's in a great position, but
Think the books make him as likable as they did kind of at the beginning of this season, do they?
I don't think the books have ever given you as much as a reason to hate him, per se. I mean, he's in with some pretty dubious powers, but you always had Davos to kind of, like, reason with. So you always like him for the fact that he's kept Davos alive. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, there's, like, the situation that on the opposite side of the battlefield, the Boltons are doing super shitty in the books. Like, things are not going well for them at all. They're snowed in. They have dwindling supplies. There are random murders happening around Winterfell. They think there's a traitor in their midst. Like, they're in a shitty situation. And they're forced to go out and meet Stannis because they don't have enough supplies to really hold themselves out either, wait for his coming.
The siege, yeah.
It's like, oh, they're in a shitty situation too. Whereas in the show, Ramsay's just like, give me 20 men and I'll just sneak into the camp of the greatest military commander in Westeros and burn all of his siege weapons and sneak out without anyone noticing.
Just going to borrow Littlefinger's Chrysler Town and Country and zip on over there. Little Ario Speedwagon stuck in a cassette player. This is going to be torture.
Oh, God, I hate this world.
I will go my own way indeed.
Yeah, I don't know. It was a pretty rough
thing. Maybe they're saving a lot of that for next season, for if Jon shows up, they're going to give him that kind of... I don't know.
It's tough.
The show keeps me on my toes, which I do like about it, because I'm so rarely correct in my guesses.
And that's, I mean, part of that's just the fact that it's you know, a series that lives to defy a lot of expectations. Like, that's part of why George R. R. Martin writes. He likes to subvert tropes or, you know, the standard cliches, so... It's kind of cool. I would highly recommend you read the book sometime.
I will.
Just to get a different impression of things. Like, there's some things...
I'll be honest with you, if he dies before he finishes the books, I probably won't, but...
There's some stuff now that you can get a pretty cool, complete story out of that are going to be different. Like, Tyrion in the books is not nearly as likable of a character as he is.
Oh, really?
He's kind of a fuckhead in a lot of ways, especially in the last book. He does some... Not, like, horrible things, but he's really a... pretty awful person. Like, he's becoming a lot more like Tywin. Yeah, he has some very cruel tendencies. He's starting to become like him in
they could show that next season, because he's kind of in charge of Meereen.
I don't think they're ever going to show. Because he starts to treat more women like whores and think of them that way. He starts to, like, play a very deceptive game. There's some good essays I've read, people who've read the books that have, like, actually broken down a lot of his stuff. A lot of those scenes that I was just like, yes, Tyrion, where do whores go? I have no time for this. Flip, where's another Davos chapter? Ooh, pretty light on those. Seems like he doesn't do a whole lot. But Game of Thrones is now over. Don't have that to look forward to.
For a long fuck... By far the worst part about HBO is like, oh my God, I got 10 months till this starts again.
Yeah, full year until this is on one more time. But you do have True Detectives to hold you over.
Which I do like.
Did you see the new season?
Yeah.
Does it start off good?
Yeah, it starts off.
Is Rachel McAdams pretty hot?
Yeah, you get like her in like a pretty small pair of underwear at one point. Dykey haircut, not a big fan. But the character's pretty cool so far.
Vince Vaughn in any...
Yeah, Vince Vaughn's actually character's pretty legit too.
I was going to ask if he's in any tight little underwear as well, or...
And not only in my dreams, but... I mean, you never know what next episode will bring.
Is it... Now, she's a cop, I know. Are the other two cops, or are they both villains?
She's a cop. Well, I wouldn't even go villain, good guy, because they're all...
Well, I just mean, like,
they all have, like, criminal, a dark side. Oh, okay. No, Vince Vaughn's the only criminal, but he's, like, a high-ranking, like, organized crime kind of figure. Rachel McAdams is a cop. Colin Farrell's a cop. He's definitely, like, the drunk kind of recluse
he's the McNulty without the like heroism to him.
Yeah, he's like McNulty but actually likes violence a lot. McNulty is a good comparison for him though.
Okay, functioning alcoholic.
It's somehow even like McNulty's worst days are like his Tuesdays.
Oh my god. His fifth season is his entire life.
Yeah, this is like he does stuff in the first episode that you're like, oh my god, that was McNulty at his work. Like this is his way to work. He crashes his car into a wall and then like gets out and like, I wonder if I can crash it in the exact same way again. Remember that?
Oh my god, yeah.
It's like the second season premiere or something, or third season premiere.
Yeah, he just looks at it. He's just like trying to see if he can do it one more time. Isn't he like, yeah, it's like him after work too, like just completely
blackout drunk, yeah.
You're just like, oh man. It's tough watching McNulty during that fifth season too.
Yeah, he ends it well, but yeah, it's definitely pretty rough. I like the scene, I like the episode where he's just banging a whore like on top of his car in a parking lot. And a cop car drives by and it's like, and he just flashes the badge. And they're like, that's a, come on, take it in your car at least. What is this?
Just keep going. I'm a cop too.
Aren't you going to get a little closer and make sure the badge is real? Because obviously you didn't recognize him. But yeah, I highly recommend it. It Well, one episode in, I don't know.
I thought you were highly recommending The Wire to me. I was like, we did a podcast on it.
I know you said you saw The Wire. I got to listen to those. I don't even know where those are anymore.
The Wire one? Yeah. I put it up on a blip somewhere. I need to download it, though, just in case that site ever goes under.
Oh, yeah, definitely. In some month, we don't feel like doing an episode.
And I still wanted to do a sequel one where we have fucking Sean Toon on, but that lazy bum in Jersey won't give you a text unless it's like, yo, where's the podcast? And I put one up, and I'm like, hey, you want to be on the next one? Like, sorry, I can't text you. I'm getting baked and just dodging a question.
Yeah. What's up, you big faggot? Going to bed? It's only 2 o'clock on a Wednesday. Like, okay.
Some of us have jobs that don't open before.
Yeah. Mm. Some of us have to be out of bed before 4 p.m. So, yes, I will do that. Like a big faggot.
Take that, Sean Toon. Boosh.
You big giant queer. And now you can just load up on all the fat jokes you'll have ready for him when you see him.
I mean, he's probably lost weight since then.
He's still got to be fatter than you, though.
I don't know. Who knows? He might have. I don't know. I don't know how big he ever was.
Based on his lifestyle so far, you think?
He's got a girlfriend. Yeah, maybe for her. Lost all the weight. Got himself a better job.
Maybe he lost some weight. You've lost 60 pounds since last time he saw you. So I don't think he's done that.
I think it'd even be more than that. I think I was probably like 270, 260 when he last saw me.
He's probably listening to this podcast with his bong on his tummy, eating Cheetos out of his hat. He probably took a dump this morning and weighed half a pound less than he usually does and went, good for me. Good for you, you sexy whore, as he looks in the mirror.
Put a gold star on that day on the calendar, like, good day.
Kaboom, sexiest ever.
I wanted to mention, because talking about HBO, I haven't seen a new season. I've seen the first episode of the first season of True Detectives. And that's like on my long list of things. Like, eventually I'll catch up.
Finishing Breaking Bad.
Yeah, finishing like the last 7 episodes of Breaking Bad. I just have no desire to. I already just canceled my Netflix too, so I'm definitely not finishing those last seasons of last episode of season 4 of Walking Dead anytime soon either.
Oh, wow.
I was just like, I haven't done it yet, and I'm going to be honest with myself, probably won't for a while, so I'm just going to cancel this in the meantime, say that $7-$8 a month, whatever.
Well, eventually I want to get the, when I put the Xbox down here.
Yeah, we can have.
Well, I mean, and you can use my Xbox or my Netflix account in your room, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, I just wouldn't, I need a password or whatever, yeah. But I was going to say, I did choose to watch something, though.
Oh.
I watched episode 1 of Blotrage.
Oh, really? Ballers? Ugh.
It was not as bad as I thought it was going to be. It is a very strange show, though, because I'm not really sure what it's supposed to be. If it's supposed to be a drama, or if they're aiming for it to be a comedy.
That's what Entourage is.
It's very strange. Well, because like it's not like there's a couple of funny jokes in it, like moments I was like teehee. But a lot of it's like pretty heavy, like, oh, this guy's life is falling apart. This guy's clearly got like a lot of heavy stuff he's dealing with. But then I got to the end of it and they do the inside the studio, which of course had The Rock in it because nothing in this show exists if it doesn't have The Rock propelling it forward with the strength of 1,000 men. Fucking yeoman's work. And he's just like, yeah, we were worried about making this a little too dark for a comedy. And I almost like spit take like, comedy. There was like 2 jokes in this whole episode. Are you kidding me?
Sipping your Bosco in your sleeper's cap. Like, yeah.
My sleep mask flying off my head.
Comedy.
It's not bad, but it is entirely like it. The only thing you're going to get from it is like, oh, The Rock's really like good in this. Like, holy shit. This guy could like be reading me like the graphic, gory details of my death. And I'd still be like, oh, keep going. This is so engaging.
Yeah.
But
I feel like a lot of people kind of knew that. Maybe there are some still people that are like, yeah, The Rock's an okay actor. He's a pretty charismatic guy.
Ridiculous. Like, I remember being in Philly, being in Hershey, seeing him at a SmackDown show. And like, I don't know like what kind of magic it was, but even I was just like, Rocky, Rocky. I was like, I wasn't even ever really a big Rock fan, but holy shit, he's here.
Yeah.
And he can just like,
he's talking shit on the Giants.
No.
For some reason in Hershey.
In Giants Stadium. I mean, different Giants, but still.
When you shit on... is he heel or face? I can't even tell anymore.
He's The Rock.
It switches, like, from every line.
I think I was able to get more enjoyment out of the show because it's, I guess I never really realized that going in it would be a lot of football references in it. Like, that were pretty funny that I enjoyed. Like, a guy gets cut that The Rock's managing. He's like, they want to send me to Jacksonville. That's where careers go to die. And I was like, that is pretty much what it exists to be at this point. He's like, I'll just retire at that point. Like a couple of, actually, they use team logos, which are, I imagine, a pretty expensive venture, but yeah, it's not that
surprising.
Rob Corddry, though, was a huge disappointment. He's only in the show for like 5 minutes, but I was like, oof, you are awful in this.
It seems, because I asked the guy at work, I was like, is there anyone in it besides The Rock? Because the commercial is rock, 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 hot chick, rock, 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 random black dude, rock, rock, rock. And it's like, how much, is there any way this show goes a second season? Because it seems, I mean, it's got to be striking while the iron's hot, and unfortunately HBO doesn't really pay that much.
I don't know. It's tough to say because they're definitely building up him up to be like a, not like a Don Draper exactly, but definitely like a guy with more to him than we're seeing. Because the show opens with him like getting out of bed and like in pain, and he has a flashback to a tackle he gave that I think like injures him, but he like looks over and the other guy doesn't get up. And I don't know if you're like, oh, did he like kill that guy when he made that move, or did he like cripple him, or you know, like what exactly happened? So I mean, it could be something where there's like a lot more to this character than that, but no, I mean, there's one other guy, and I want to try to find out his name first before I'm like, no, that dude's never been in anything. You're like, that guy was Martin Luther King's son.
That's, how dare you, that's Idris Elba.
But other than that, it's a pretty okay show. A lot of football player cameos. Like, he, like, walks, he, like, goes to a club, and it's, like, DeSean Jackson. They're like, yo, what up, D-Jack? Like, oh, okay, is that what we're gonna do? Yes, and of course, the poster for it is just The Rock. It is absurd, but I'm trying to see. There's, like, two named characters.
Retarded title.
Let's see.
It's just so indicative of all the, what's the term I'm trying to think of? Superfluous isn't strong enough.
What, just saying it's unnecessary?
Rococo? Like,
let me see. If
it's like, you know what, like, Rococo art is? It's like the period right after the Renaissance and Baroque where people are like, man, art's so serious. It means so much. Let's just have, like, a few years of just bullshit horse crap art that nobody cares about, but it just looks nice. And that was what Rococo was.
That's a good reference there, then. This is probably the only guy worth anything else in it, and it does not look like he had very many, like, big roles.
It's like, I was in Law & Order. I'm pretty sure I've been in a Law & Order episode and probably don't remember.
He was in 8 Mile as Saul George. I never saw Saul George.
Or did I? Yeah, who knows.
And that's, I mean, that seems pretty much about it. He seemed like the only one in that show otherwise that I, like, I
loved. Oh, okay, yeah, I know him.
And then this was the other guy, John David Washington. That guy I showed you, though, does have a pretty hot wife in the show.
It looks like a mostly black cast. That's
I mean, it is almost entirely. I mean, he's a football, like, he handles football players.
I can
unless
still
he's
see
handling
them.
A lot of quarterbacks, it's mostly going to be black guys. Book of Eli. Is he in Book of Eli? Oh, producer of Book of Eli. This seems to be his first real acting role. Interesting. This is the other guy who has any kind of role in the show. At least based off the first episode. But yeah, I mean, I haven't seen Entourage at this point. But I would not be averse to seeing another episode. I certainly would not, like, clear time out of my schedule to do it.
I beg of you. There's so many. You have HBO Go at your disposal. There's so many better. Even Sopranos you've never seen. Rome. Oz. Deadwood.
I think I'm going to catch up and finish up with Blanchard once a week.
There's nothing to catch up on. There's only been one episode.
I feel like I should see it again. I think I missed a lot of poignant symbolism.
There's so many great shows on HBO Go that, like, you absolutely, I would highly recommend watching, and this is not one of them.
I think I'm going to keep up with Blanchard.
All right. Fair enough. Watch your brain waste away and
the black entourage.
That's pretty hot.
Yeah, she's not bad. I don't know. I didn't see her in that episode though, so I don't know when that pops up. But anyways, something I did want to ask you about. How's Mad Men end? Or not how does it end, but how was it?
I didn't see the end of Mad Men.
Oh, you haven't seen it yet?
I didn't see the last six episodes.
Oh. I've heard good things about it. I was hoping for like a long, engaging conversation about this. Like,
no, I've heard...
Tell me everything about it.
I'm trying to remember. The last episode I saw, they killed off... who's the really old guy? Roger Cooper?
Oh, the boss.
Yeah. And it's... You should look it up while you have a chance, because it's bizarre. It's not... Look like... what's his first name? I don't know. Cooper, last scene from Mad Men.
Oh, you want me to actually look up the final scene?
It's not long. And within 15 seconds, you'll get the gist.
Roger Sterling?
No, that's the white-haired guy that does all the sassy remarks. He's going to be way from Bertram Cooper.
Oh, that's his name, Bertram Cooper? Okay. All right, well, we'll pause here then, and I'll look this up. All right, well, that was fucking ridiculous.
That was the end of, not the last season, but the season before that. Like, when they broke, because they did like they do Walking Dead. They broke it up. That was
the half season.
You had to wait 3 months until you saw another episode after that. That was how they ended it. The most ridiculous. I thought, like, oh my god, this scene's awesome because Don's having a stroke and doesn't even, and like the end of this is going to be like him foaming at the mouth lying on the floor. And it's not. And you're like, what the fuck? For those of you who haven't seen it, Cooper's dead. They've announced he's dead. And for some reason, Don just has this daydream of him singing and dancing on the floor of the office, doing nothing in life, or the best things in life are free.
Yeah, a bunch of like girls in miniskirts dancing around him, and then it just, and he goes into a room, door closed, and Don's just like, oh, I guess he's dead. Very strange
scene.
I like
you watching it like, these mini skirts seem kind of unrealistic. Like, Christopher, I don't think any of this is really happening.
Well, I just thought it was weird. I mean, it's supposed to be the 1950s still,
60s.
Right?
No, 60s. They're at 63 or 64.
I guess it is the point where, like, it started getting...
It's got to be, like, 66, actually, because Kennedy... no, I think the show starts 59.
Okay. So still seem a very inappropriate workplace attire. Regardless, though, I'm curious then... Because there has to be, like, there's good minds behind these shows. There had to be some symbolic logic behind this.
I know there's a scene where...
Does Don Draper often have show-tune-esque vision?
Especially not when... And he's not even drunk in that scene, which, you know, maybe you could write it off. I know there's a... It's completely...
Did he have some secret gay relationship with that guy?
I've talked to a few people. Not that. That'd be a big shocker. I've talked to a few people I know that watched it, and all of them are like, yeah, I don't know what the fuck that scene was about. Unless they just wanted to give that actor, like, yeah, why not? Here's your druthers. Go ahead and do it. But it's even, that like, that's like not... Kind of, that's very indulgent. For a minor character, when you think about
it. They filmed a scene at the end of Avengers where the one character who did die didn't die, and they get to show you his new costume. That's a DVD extra. If that's what they were doing, they're just like, oh, you want to go out with a musical number? Sure. That's something you include as, like, a wacky, like, deleted scene. Not, like, the end of your season finale.
Exactly. But I know there's a scene, I think it's in the final episode... It shows Don just breaking down, crying his eyes out, hugging a guy. You don't see what guy it is. You just see the back of the guy and, like, Don with his arms around him just breaking down, crying. And it's like, I wonder what that is. Hmm. Some people, I don't, like I said, I don't know. I haven't seen spoilers. Some people speculated that maybe his brother didn't really die. Because remember in the first season, Don just goes back to that hotel. And the guy's like, oh, that kid's dead.
I had to re-see it. It's
that'd be sweet if the brother's like, just, he's like, I knew you didn't want anything to do with me, so I just asked the chick at the front desk to tell you I was dead.
Yeah. Because it's been, I think, 3 years since I've watched an episode of Mad Men, and I remember being like, this is a rough show to get through. Like, there's not a whole lot of excitement for it. So I was going to ask you then if it's worth it to...
It's
to,
still a
should
great...
I put Blontourage on hold to catch up on Mad Men, or...
I'm much more into... the big fault I have about Walking Dead is the writing's not very good. I think it's a show that relies way too much on suspense. And the characters, some of them are good. It's kind of a crapshoot. Some of them are really awful. Clandestine and boring and one-dimensional. I'd say most of them
Some of them are Lori, you know? Where you're just like, oof, this is awful. Somehow you got worse after your death.
Too many of them are Lori. And too many of them are like the governor, where they think they're layering them. But you're like, no, this is just one shitty flat layer.
This is just ridiculous. This guy is like cartoonishly evil.
But Mad Men is the opposite, where it's like there's not much drama or suspense necessarily, but it's a lot of very, very well-written characters.
Very good. That's what I got out of it. It's a very character-driven show, but a very like tempered kind of character-driven show.
And of what I've seen, which is everything but the last six episodes, it's still like that. Every episode's still like, huh, that's interesting. So I'll let you know. I'll catch it whenever it comes out on DVD.
Like the kind of show I should just get like... I should just have a cigarette and like a beer in hand. Like,
the show you should watch a couple of them and not in the time it took you to watch like three seasons of Walking Dead. Some prioritizing, brother. That's all I ask from your TV watching. I see you watching Baller, not walking Scotia, not giving her a bath like you said you would.
I gave Scotia a bath.
Ignoring the last six episodes of Breaking Bad.
Remember, give Scotia a bath. It's just replaying.
And finish Breaking Bad.
It's replaying in my mind. You should watch Ballers for the podcast.
Did you finish?
It's
the whole...
just me, like a devil version of me on my shoulder, but he's like stapled a carrot to his face. Like,
now remember, Christopher, you should watch Ballers for the podcast.
Make sure you check. Why don't you just watch all of Entourage?
I'm just like, well, okay, Angel Devil Mikey shoulder. Yeah, I don't know. It's something to think about at some point, definitely.
It's insane when you think about it, because how many dramas can you name from the last 40 years? Like, from the 70s to the mid-90s, are still iconic today.
It's the new movie. Like, television has become the new place to put story-driven drama at this point. It's insane. Because now you think, like, what's, like, you know, you get your Oscar winners, but how many, like, you know, the big movies you anticipate each year tend to be your, you know, summer blockbuster movies.
Yeah.
What's the big superhero movie coming out? Like, oh, what are they rebooting? What's, you know, what Pixar movie's coming out? But you know, when you think of television, you're just like, oh, something new's coming.
Original.
Yeah, you're just like, or you're derived from a book that no one gives a fuck about. Yeah. So you're like, oh, okay, you know. But yeah, it's crazy.
Like, well, that'll be 20 years from now. People are like, oh my God, how did you guys get anything done? The amount of shit you had on TV. They're like,
yeah, you'd be surprised.
They're like, they worked it out pretty well. We could watch it whenever we wanted. We could watch 20 episodes at a time. 20 years ago, we'd have been fucked. If it's like, okay, Sopranos is on this night. Game of Thrones is on that night. Boardwalk Empire's on that night. Wire's on that night. You're like, shit, I can't go out a single night this week. My VCR's broken. I'm hosed.
I was talking about that. I was like, it's weird, like the way television exists at this point, and the way you consume it is so alien to how we had it growing up. Like, there's, you know, when you were growing up, like, you kind of had a relation with like just people and peers your age because you had to watch the same show. Like, there was nothing else on. Like, everyone was like, oh yeah, Hey Arnold's an okay show. Yeah. Like, everyone just watched it because at some point you're like, well, I've got nothing else to do, and all the good Nicktoons are over, so I guess I'll just watch a couple episodes of Hey Arnold or whatever. But now it's to the point where you're like, if I don't like the show that's on, I can watch something else, or I can just go on the internet and, you know, watch a video of something else or play a video game. It's kind of crazy.
It's skyrocketed. And just between your and my generation, like, I didn't have Nickelodeon until I was 13 or 14, and you grew up with it. But even I still had at least like 10 channels to watch. There was still TBS, USA, TNN, before that became Spike. There's still a bunch, man. Which does bring me to and I do want to get back to the dramas, but does bring me to a point of...
We should kill Scotia before this world gets too dark for
her. And eat her, at least. I think we need to burn her for a victory. Princess
it's getting kind of hot out. Let's burn her. See if that brings a cooler winter.
Davos won't like it, but fuck him.
Fuck Davos.
I wish somebody recorded that. But someone asked me the other... I dropped Riddle Snakey somewhere as a reference to someone. They're like, yeah, did you like, you know, whatever, the last season of some show? And I was like, yeah, it was okay. It was kind of Riddle Snakey. And they're like, what does that mean? And I was like, you know, it means kind of meh. It was all right. And they're like, I still don't get what it is.
What's a Riddle Snake?
Is that from a book? I don't know. What is that
like from? Some Harry Potter term?
And I had to I tried to explain it to them without sounding like a crazy person. I couldn't do it. Because none of them had, like, they're all closer to my age. And they're like, why were you watching this children's television show called Crashbox when you were 15 years old?
15 is a very generous age to give
you that 16, time. 16, 17?
I think you were in your 20s when it came on.
How old were you? But I thought you were still like a kid.
I had to be 11 at the youngest.
Oh, so you were even kind of too old for Crashbox.
I was too old. Well, I mean, I wasn't like ancient for Crashbox, but I was definitely like answering questions aged at, like aimed at a younger audience.
I mean, nobody gets boom. No one gets Poopa Scoopa Doopa Super Doopa Poopa Scoopa.
No one can get to that level unless you're God or you wrote that episode.
How many stripes on a giraffe?
Like, that's not a true or false answer.
But those are the only two things you give me.
Hurry up, time's ticking. No, Crashbox, yeah, I've had to explain it to a couple people, too, and it's generally like, yeah, there's this show, it had a collection of different, like, educational games, and Riddlesnake was
Claymation show.
Yeah. Yeah, different styles of animation for different games, one, like, had puppets, some were hand-drawn, but at the end of it, there generally was Riddlesnake, which was a game you're like, I'll tolerate this, it's not the worst game you could end this with. I really wish we had time for Captain Bones, though. And Riddlesnake is what you refer to something that's meh.
It's not the worst, there's still Page and Sage and
which is just awful. It's not oh god,
was it Lens McCracken, which was okay, but it was just so long. Or not Lens McCracken, that what was the Mugshots?
Mugshots wasn't bad. Mugshots was usually interesting. Lens McCracken was bullshit, because it was like, let's walk into my office. Hold on, I've got an entire backstory to tell you that has no relation to this game. Here's a close-up of a sponge. Can you guess what it is? Hold on, we'll hold on screen for 15 seconds. Don't worry, there's 8 more of these rounds before I end this fucking game. Like, oh, it's ridiculous.
It's just you, like,
are we getting to that museum where she dusts off the painting?
It's 5:23. I think it's just supposed to end at 5:27 promptly. I don't know if we're going to have
When's time. Haunted House Party coming on?
That's always easy, because it's immediately like, it's Lincoln, look at the hat.
It is always like, let's take like the most distinguishing feat. Like, it's this game. All right, now we're getting almost like very descriptive. Anyway, it's a
very
great
meta.
Show. But anyway, it's like a game where like it's supposed to be a haunted house full of historical figures from history. You see them through a silhouette, and this person will talk to like 3 people and then like, drop a hint as to who they are.
Anybody know where Gettysburg is? I have to make an important address.
Yeah, but it's not like, it's always like very caricaturist, like design, like silhouettes. You
clearly
can tell,
like Shakespeare holding a skull.
Yeah, it's like Gandhi in a praying position, like floating across the screen. I'm just like, all right, I can get this before we even had to be like, oh, well, let me ride an elephant into your vagina, young woman.
Like, is it Howard Taft?
You could think he'd very obtusely on this. You're just like, perhaps maybe the next clue will lay it down to someone involved in Teapot Dome scandal.
Did they mention the New Deal?
And perhaps this is the Cherokee to which Jefferson did the New Deal with.
What did they even do during Riddlesnake?
It was just like...
the snake charmer?
He was a snake, and he popped out, and then he played the flute, and a guy was the snake that popped out.
Yeah.
And he'd, like, wave his hands, and the clue would come out, and then he'd, like, swarm you around for a little bit, and then he'd wave his hands again, and you get the answer. Some, like, chick would, like, read it off, like, what has a scale, or what weighs as much as an elephant, or what's as big as an elephant, but weighs nothing? What's as big as an elephant, but weighs nothing? What's as big as an elephant but weighs nothing? An elephant shadow. And you're like, oh. I've gotten this like 8 times. I know this one. It's ridiculous.
Like the Captain Bob ones where you get the answer in the first 2 seconds and you're like, oh my god, I gotta wait 45 seconds for this water to finish.
Yeah, it's just like, well, there are some that were kind of like very like, you had to wait for that third clue because you're just like, there's a lot that could really combine this. Or you're maybe like missing something. It's like, what do these 3 things have in common there? A volleyball court, the state of New Jersey. And you're like, I don't know what the fuck this would have with common.
You might not even give me the third one. I didn't get the first 2.
There actually was one though. It was, they all have nets. New Jersey's team.
Oh man, that sucks.
Yeah, that was a bullshit. I remember being like, that's bullshit.
Why would a 5-year-old in anywhere but New Jersey know that?
Be like, Mommy, Captain Bob's cheating. Well, you know, he is the one black member of the team. You had to imagine if one of these guys was going to be a crook, it was going to be Captain Bob.
I mean, Psycho
Matt. Stop that, Scotia.
The robot from Psycho Matt seemed pretty gangster, too. So at least that was super fast. Like, he dropped out of the sky, like, boom, 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 problems, and I'm out.
Yeah, it's like, it's four math problems. They're kind of hard, but you can get it because you're a goddamn adult.
I'm going to buy you a drink somewhere after we get out of this, Shepard.
Man, I hope there's one person listening to this who's watched Crashbox before who can, like, justify, like, our 30-minute conversation.
I hope to God, but it's pretty elitist, like, an HBO children's show, which they still show every day on HBO Family.
I have to imagine you can get it on HBO Go, too. If you have it, it's worth...
I've never seen their kids section. I'm sure it's on there somewhere.
Everything else they have... If I can catch Enlightened... They have to keep a reserve of just every piece of shit.
And Lighten's still on there?
Yeah, they put every. They don't take anything off.
Life at Times and Tim isn't on there anymore. Oh. But I don't know if they own the. I think they might. That might have been like one of those things. Like, we have the ability to retain the rights to this, but meh.
Very much like meh.
Oh, I could flick a switch and keep the lights to this. Meh.
Too busy.
But just me being too old and watching a show that you were too old for already.
Yeah, I was definitely, I recall being in sixth grade bringing in, and this is again to age us, bringing in a VHS that we had recorded of it, a couple episodes, and playing it during rained in recess one day, and like thinking this was going to make me the coolest kid in school, and no one gave a fuck. It was like me and Frank watching it, like in our seat, like I was occasionally like turning around like, oh, this is a pretty good show, isn't it?
I'm glad no one gave a fuck, and it wasn't like, what? How old are you?
What the fuck is... I was like, come on, it's Distraction News. This is great. Oh,
Distraction News was great. I never got it, too.
It was always...
Because it was way too much more fun just to,
it
like...
It was... I mean, our ADD really worked against us in that one. It's just like, here's a show where a lot of things are happening. Make sure to pay attention to the specifics. And then, like, George Washington pops head and his hair shoots out with, like, spiders. You're just like, sorry, I missed... What's the topic of today's news?
You know, he's going to it, like, this time I'm really going to try. And then as soon as you're watching, like, this is so much more fun. Why am I like,
you're like, look,
this is homework I'm not going to get graded on. Fuck it.
And there's a Chinese dragon flying around the back of her head. This is ridiculous. You want me to pay attention to this horse shit? No. Get out of here, woman. I thought about it recently and it came to mind. When we were young, we had a Sega Genesis. That was our gaming console growing up. We were never Nintendo kids until we got
like 89 to 97.
Yeah.
When I finally bought a 64.
It was our gaming console for a very long time. But I was going to...
God, that's what's on there now.
Oh, John Wick. I heard it's actually not bad. But I heard, or I was remembering the other day, that was in our Terry's room. The Sega Genesis.
It started in the living room. And then Mom and Dad got tired of that. That's how long ago Dad and Mom were still married.
Oh, wow. I very briefly remember it in the living room.
And then we moved it up into... Well, me and Terry were both upstairs for a little bit. This, like, turned into, like, some long, boring thing. And then...
That turned into some creepy incest.
Yeah, thing, like, when my balls dropped and Terry... like, let's switch rooms. Hey! And I was like, that's all right. So I got this big room up here. They're like, oh, we're going to move your goofy little brother that you hate spending time with up here.
It was in Terry's room, though, for the most part, wasn't it?
I remember being up there with Terry, and then eventually Terry moving out and Mom moving you upstairs.
I don't think I was in upstairs very long at all. I remember being up there long enough for her to put those stickers of glow-in-the-dark stars in the ceiling, and then I was popped down into what Terry's room was down there.
I mean, I wasn't in the basement till I was probably like 15 or 16.
Because I was just trying to think, like, because it had to been, like, you know, you put the game console in the room of the person who's least likely to play it. And I'm like, was that Mom just, like, being like, whatever? Or was that her being, like, deviously like, oh, well, Terry will make it so they can't be on the game console all day. No. Because she's not going
to
be...
It was just, I just wanted upstairs so I don't have to fucking hear them.
Because I was thinking on that. I was just like, was Mom more devious than I ever gave her credit for? Or was she just like, meh, who cares?
It could have been that, too. Nobody was going to hang out in your disgusting room, if that's what you're insinuating.
Disgusting room. I didn't have a cat that, like, pooped all over the room until I was, like, fucking 17, I think.
No, but you were just shitting all over your underwear until way later than you should have been, so, and those were lying all around.
Oh, I think you're painting a very odd image of my room.
Flattering picture. Look, hey, it's time we pull the curtain back. Christopher pooped himself way beyond an acceptable age. Whatever age you're thinking is like too accept, too beyond acceptable, double it. And he was still, add add a one in front of it, and he was still doing it.
This is, I never realized how
pretty racist Captain Bob is.
How inappropriate the Captain Bob was. With his giant, enormous lips that actually stretch beyond the confines of his face.
Yeah, it's pretty offensive. I remember not being able to watch Revolting Slob episodes.
Because it's too close to your life.
So gross.
It's too much to living in the basement where he's just like shuffling past beer cans and old pizza boxes. And at the end, he'd die.
Making booger tacos.
Oh, yeah, and then the museum.
Jumping like, Johnny Rumble. I mean,
Sketchpad. That one sucked, too. I'm trying to remember. That was like Mr. Shiera puzzles, where he's just like, hey, man, dig this. A guy's in a room, and he's locked in a room, and there's only a window at the very top, and he has no way how to get out of this ice freezer. But this cat makes it out. Police walk in, there's just a puzzle. I wonder what happened. And they give you a bunch of stupid answers first, like, maybe he, made a deal with the ice and they helped construct him some crude ladder and he escaped. No, that's retarded. You're retarded for thinking it.
It was just a real time vampire. Like, oh, there's so little time in the show to get to the good ones.
It's so ridiculous. That's another one. There was the radio show.
Jumpin' Johnny Grumble. Yeah. And he'd be like, no, it's Jumpin' Johnny Jumble.
Yeah, Jumble, or Scramble, whatever. It was a lot of good shows, a lot of...
That was a very okay show, but didn't take much time, so it was like fine.
And then Riddlesnake's up here. They already have like images of him, like... It was very like, I guess I'm okay with this.
Yeah, it's whatever. This will be done.
Think Tank?
This will be done soon. Think Tank.
Hold on, wait. Riddlesnake or Think Tank? Other people been having this debate?
My God, there's already a Crashbox podcast?
Oh my God, we've been so behind.
With Terry and Travis.
Oh.
And Think Tank is...
Think Tank is the Captain Bob.
Is that called Think Tank?
I thought it was called Captain Bob.
I thought it was too.
Hold on, let me send an email to these people.
100%! There's no votes for Riddlesnake? That seems unlikely. Oh, well, one fan.
Clearly, the person who created this poll was like, do you guys agree Riddlesnake sucked in comparison to Captain Bob? Like, yeah, but they rarely competed for time.
This is going to take off.
Riddlesnake was always at the end of a show. Think Tank was definitely like a peak to an episode. Like, here's our high point. All right, get ready for Eddie Bull now.
Yeah, this is like your cigarette. This is your cigarette at the end. Like, just calm down. But another great example of us, the age gap. Definitely fourth grade Mystery Mountain.
It was third grade Mystery Mountain. And I remember mom bought it for me going into third grade. Like, this was the summer. Because I don't know if you had to do it. I'm sure you did. But we used to... We lived relatively close to a store. We called it, I think, Learning and Sharing or Learning and something like that.
Yeah.
It was basically a teacher supply store.
I think we bought that at Media Play because Learning and Sharing had already gone under.
Yeah. But no, I think it may even still be around. I haven't been over to that post office.
No, because the lady ended up working at Media Play.
Learning and no.
I'm
thinking of the teacher.
I'm thinking of the place that used to be by where you did karate.
Yeah, no, this is the teacher supply store. And I only think it was called Learning and Share. I think that was the preschool I went to actually. But it was a place. It was a teacher supply store that was
big
open.
Big kids that still occasionally poop themselves.
I was three or four.
That's the sign from big kids that still occasionally poop themselves. No big deal.
No need to make a whole big huss about it.
No big deal. Neon lights occasionally flashes on and off. No big deal. Big deal. Oh, the note went out.
That's weird. But we went there, and I was just going to mention, did you also have to do, because I remember it was always when summer break started, you had to do homework. It was like mom would be like, you have a math homework, or you have a math workbook to do. And because I was the youngest, it was the duty of you two, because mom was working at that time, those great glorious days of yore. You had to check it, and I know there was definitely points where you're just like, sure, looks good.
I'm sure I was her last resort for check. Like, Terry had to have been doing something really important somewhere
Terry's
else.
In a coma, and she's like, all right now, Mikey, I'm going to ask you an important job while I go visit Terry.
I guess I'll let Dum Dum handle this.
With you, like, in a pan on your head, like, bong, hold on, Mom.
Is he stuck in that honey pot again? Let me guess, he went outside, it was raining, he opened his mouth and drowned.
But mom, for that year, when I was going to the third grade, got me Third Grade Mystery Mountain to prepare me for it. Because I guess she's like, he loves video games. It's a game meant for him. And kudos to her.
Highly rated, yeah.
A really good pick, because I remember really enjoying it. And like, the first thing you do when you get into the game is you have to, like, it's like a Simon Says puzzle or whatever that, like, you know, like...
Oh, it's like a door.
Yeah, it's like a door with different colored fragments. The door click glows in certain ways. You just have to click those parts in order. And I know you and Terry and I think maybe mom were watching me do it. And you're like, man, with the eighth grade version of this must be insane. Little did we know, Mikey would actually start playing this third grade intended game.
Did I say eighth grade? Because that was even still too young for me.
And he began to race me to see who could complete this children's game first.
For those of you that don't know us, I am 7 years older than Christopher.
He was, at the time I was doing this, you must have been a sophomore in high school, junior, I think, actually. No, sophomore.
Let's give me sophomore.
I'll give you sophomore. Sophomore in high school. And he did, I'll give him it, he definitely beat me in completing the game.
Not close at all.
Not close enough for maybe comfort, because I think I beat it like within the next 2 or 3 days.
I had a later bedtime than you, which gave me a bit of an advantage.
Yeah, it was really like kind of like who could get the most computer time on this game.
Technically, and mom's like, I can tell the younger one to go to bed at 10. I guess I can't tell you when it's too late to play educational computer games.
For you, you're like, mom, please, I'm trying to save Amelia Earbot.
Are you going to get up in time for summer school tomorrow? Like...
It was a...
For the remedial math course you were taking to begin with?
Mr. Moyer is just, like, waiting for you to get into classic and drop his rag of Hershey Park sweat on your fucking counter. Like, Larry, just wake up.
Start flicking his moles at me.
But it was a good game. But it's like, looking back on it, I was just like, wow, yeah, Mikey did, like, race me on that. Which, looking back... It had to be like a pretty desperate race on his. Like, were we that desperate for video games at that point that you were just like, this is my life?
It was the first time I can remember like us being competitive about anything. Because neither of us did sports, so there wasn't anything for that.
No, and most games, like when you played them on the Sega Genesis, there weren't really like versus modes. That's something that kind of...
Yeah, outside of, like, the old Royal Rumble Sega Genesis game. And even that was mostly luck. Like, you couldn't get that good at that game. There was only a certain number of things you could do.
Yeah, and most of the controls were pretty...
And if you could just leg trip Christopher out of the ring every time and get him to curse, and mom's like, no more games for you!
It was a pretty easy method. Although, oh, man, I can't believe I didn't mention this on the podcast last time. We had Terry here. Although she wasn't there, so she may not have remembered. We all, I mean, I don't like to admit it, but all of us...
All of us blew dad at least all of once.
Had at least one time we had to blow dad. All of us, particularly myself, had a temper when it came to video games.
Yeah.
Terry had the infamous one where you beat Toe Jaminor without her and she left the room in complete anger.
Yeah.
I can recall several times living with dad playing video games and Delmi would see me getting upset and she'd just turn the game off and force me to do something else. I think the most violent outburst I ever saw with video games was you, though. It was, we were playing Mario Golf on the N64. Mm. And it was a game where you only...
Up in the attic, yeah.
Up in the living room. It was a game we rented.
Is it playing against Luigi?
No. Because here's the thing. Like, you only got, like, two characters to start. Well, you got, like, six. But, like, four of them are bullshit characters that just made up. Like, here's Pete and here's
Mrs. Shy Guy.
Yeah, it's like bullshit characters you didn't want. You had to unlock everyone else by beating it. And we're not golf guys, but we played the game anyway. We got Luigi. He was the first one. The second character you get is Yoshi. And you were doing a golf game with Yoshi that went down to the wire. It literally got to the point you got to the 18th hole. You finished it. And he, like, just managed to get in and tie with you. And you're like, a tie? I think I went on that. Apparently, we don't even realize that. I guess in golf, you have, like, there's, like, a tiebreaker just in case.
Oh, like a putt.
Probably. Yeah, you got to that. You putted it. It missed by, like, 2 inches. Yoshi puts it in. Wins.
Oh, he had, like, a crazy shot, too.
This was, like, 2 hours. Mikey just reaches out, rips the game right out of the N64 without finishing it. And you just hurled it across the room.
That does sound familiar.
And I just remember being like, we didn't own that game.
That better still work.
Oh, man. It was pretty scary being in the room with you at the time. Because I was like,
Because he didn't make any shots like that during the regular game. All of a sudden, when it came to, like, sudden death, he was like...
You really had a Stannis-like arc where, like, around hole 7 was when you showed up and saved the Night's Watch. Or, like, hole 12. And then the rest of it was just watching you crumble to pieces.
I thought, like,
and Yoshi slowly catching up with you.
Wiped the sweat off my brow, and I was like, all right, I can take a breather. And
I finished it. I unlocked Yoshi. Good job, me.
It's like, all right, well, I can do this. All I got to do is sink it in less than Yoshi, and Yoshi's putting game has just been a disgrazia this entire game. The only thing he beats me is on the long shot. The drive he crushes me on, but putting, you're dead.
This is
my little game. Salamander friend.
You're coming to Team Larios at the end of this.
Prepare to suck it.
And then he sinks.
Oh, I barely missed it, but I'm right there up for the bogey.
And just Yoshi like, kink.
But and just, even does, like, the sound, like, whatever that crazy sound he does.
Yeah, he honks. Kicks you in the dick as he honks.
I haven't thought about that in probably a decade, but now that you mention it, yeah, I definitely remember doing that. I used to get fucking furious. Mom used to have to do that with every single one of us. Would be like, timeouts, no more games for you, because you're screaming downstairs.
Yeah, it was the very disgraceful, like, displays of us at times, like, how infuriated we
were
in video games.
Like, Mike, you would...
I was like, you had to be
If
like,
I had a 64, it was definitely 16-17.
I was definitely, like, I think we got the N64.
I bought the 64 with my first paycheck from McDonald's.
I was going to say, it's like, fifth grade, I think, was when we got it. So that would have made you at least a senior.
No, I was a junior in high school. Because I bought it with my first paycheck from McDonald's. So when I was 16.
Maybe it must have been when I was in fourth grade, then.
Yeah, I was 16 when we bought that.
Okay.
Still far too old to be having temper tantrums during Mario Golf, definitely.
I mean, I'll admit.
But I'm not going to lie, it could still happen to this day.
There's times I'm playing video games today that I'll still be like, oh, this is fucking... If you play... I do a game, League of Legends, every so often, like, and that's a competitive one against other people that we points where I'll be like, that's fucking horseshit, I wasn't there. Just moments where I'm just like, oof, man. These are the moments I definitely want no perspective.
Yeah.
Like, listening in on, where they're just like...
Is that camera off?
Like, how much enthusiasm? What's all this passion coming from? Oh, a video game he sucks at? Wow. Oof. I was going to water my gardens with these panties, but I guess I don't need to anymore. No, come back, Jessica.
Like, I've done half marathons where I've been like, eh, I missed my time. Whatever. No big dip. I forget, like, there's enough...
I've seen, like, well, yeah, like, I turned off the water. I'm like, that's probably going to cost me, like, an extra $30 in my water bill. Whatever.
There's an episode of Simpsons where I forget what... It's, like, Marge trying to defuse a situation, and she's just like, no big deal. No bloop-de-bloop. Who cares? So my husband's an alcoholic. Big whoop-de-hoo. And I'm, like, doing that. I'm like, whatever. I just blew my time. DUI, big deal, no hip-de-bippity. Why bother getting myself all fluxity-wuxity over this? But it's like, you motherfucker, Luigi, with your goddamn birdie.
This is horseshit.
Who gets a birdie on a par 5? This is ridiculous. I've been kicking your ass this entire race. They used to do that a lot, where these characters would just have like three mediocre fucking holes in a row, and then they would just slaughter you for two holes.
Mario Golf on the 64 was not like a walk in the park. I mean, to be fair, none of us were golfing people, but I think we picked it up because we were like, oh, Mario Tennis
solely
is awesome.
For that, yeah. Mario Golf was fun, like multiplayer.
But yeah, it was an absurd...
But nobody wanted to play it until you got the good character. Like, I don't want to be Mrs. Birdo.
Yeah, it was I don't even think they were that... It wasn't even like Mario characters. They were just people.
Like anime-looking
like
person. Like, what? Like, big red hair. Like, Nico.
Yeah, you're just like, this sucks. I'm like, you've got Mario. I want to be Mario because I don't want to be any of these fuckers. You had to unlock them. It was horseshit. I mentioned last time... that I wanted to tell you just how bad it
remember
got.
Outlaw Golf? That was so much fun too.
I remember Outlaw Tennis and Volleyball. I don't remember golf.
Oh, the same thing with Stephen Colbert, like, narrated
that
it.
Is right. Yeah. It was good, but like those lines, like, you ran through them.
Slice-a-roni, yeah.
I'd be like, he sent that one, or he smacked that one like it owed him money. Or
Yeah.
Lines like
and
that.
It was all like chicks in slutty outfits or
there, like... Yeah, like motorcycle gangs. They actually were not bad games. There was I actually remember liking Outlaw Volleyball a whole lot.
Yeah, that
I
was
dug
fun
that
too
one. I wouldn't mind if they did that one again, but no, I mentioned last time that I should bring up a couple stories of Taekwondo, and like just the sad extent to which I would like work to get around that. I don't know if you remember, there was a point in time where I hated taking baths, and mom would actually have to.
I remember.
Mom would actually have to inspect it, because what my common plan was to just go
get your
in,
hair wet, put a
go in, get my hair wet, sit like in there for 5 minutes, then come out and be like, "Mom, I'm done," and she'd just be like, "You didn't fucking take a bath." Like, it's one of those things. Just like, I don't understand why I didn't take it. Like, just take it. Like, if you know, even if I had to get pulled away, it's not like I was doing anything. It's like I was on my phone in there tweeting.
It'd be so obvious. At one point, you figured out mom could tell you didn't take a bath by the foot towel wasn't wet on the outside, but it'd be so obvious that you just poured a cup of water on. Like, it wasn't footprints.
It was just I got wet.
It's just a big circle of water.
My big plan was because usually her method was she'd grab my head and she'd smell it, but then you didn't wash your hair. So I used to take the shampoo and I just hold it over my head, like just the bottle, and
when you consider,
enough to get the scent. I thought I was pretty
tedious. When you consider about the amount of time you spent not taking a bath, you could have just taken a bath and avoided everything.
Here's the thing. When I went to Taekwondo a couple times, there were times where I'd get in late and I'd just be like, I just don't want to do Taekwondo. So I'd go into the room, they'd start the class, and they'd expect you to come out pretty quickly. And there are times where I just stand in that room doing nothing. I'd walk across like a bench for like 20 minutes just doing nothing. Then I'd come out and be like, why'd it take you so long? I had a plethora of lies come up. Like, I remember telling him, like, my mom tied my shoes in double knots and I really have difficulty getting the double knots out. And he'd just be like, all right, I get it. Yeah, like, it's just like,
your mom's paying for it.
I, like, one time I had accidentally run into one of the pillars. You had to do laps around the room. They kind of shaped like our basement. It's like a wide open area, but there's two supports that keep it up. And I'd ran into one of the supports, and I faked like it had like damaged my vision. So I just sat out the rest of the class. Like, I remember him being like, how many Spencers do you see? And I just remember being like, ooh, like four. Ooh. And he's like, you just sit over here. I'll make sure you're dead parents. I just like, I look back, and I'm just like, wow. The extent to which I worked to game this system instead of just fucking participating.
Yeah.
You're like, oof. I almost wish I'd had some guide back then to either like push me in one direction where he's like, all right, just do this fucking thing and get through it. Or when it's like, you're pretty crafty at this, kid. Let's start pushing you. Let's start taking these tricks to work, you know, making them work.
Or an older brother something that bigger. Still wasn't trying to juck and jive the system exactly the same. Could have told you, like, look, hard work. Nothing replaces the sweat off your brow, son. Instead of
just,
like,
you're gonna get to the point where you're 16 years old, fat, and you're going to really wish you had spent some time in Taekwondo beyond, like, look at all these pretty belts I have that I remember nothing about how I got them.
Like, Christopher, there's no shortcuts in life. Now get out of here. I'm going to stay up till 2 a.m. playing this.
This playing game. Third grade Mystery Mountain.
As I'm smoking a cigarette and shaving.
You're just like, ah, the measuring puzzle again.
As they said in Rocky IV, there's no easy way out, kid.
Wonder how many fourths of a cup I'll need to put in here to get one whole cup. Click, click, click.
Oh, I gotta shave my balls and pay my taxes. Anyway, there's no shortcut home.
Someone's gonna get Cosmobot back.
Someone's gotta. And what, you think it's gonna be Buttley?
That kid doesn't know anything. She's like, Mikey, it's Buttley.
Nobody calls him Buttley. They should. It's right there.
It's boom. She calls him Snotley. Like, that's more creative.
As smart as this game is, they're kind of stupid like that. Because why don't you just call him Nutley? Get it? Like nuts? Like testicles? Anyway, you go to bed.
Oh, man. And did you remember the computer was in mom's room. So there'd be points where we'd be playing the computer and she's like, I'm going to bed. And she'd sit down, she'd lay down.
Suck.
And she'd be sleeping behind you. And
so depressing. And snoring sometimes.
And then eventually she'd just get up and she'd be like, go to bed.
Yeah.
And just be like, well, I'm in a game. She's like, go to fucking bed.
Like, you wish she had been more like, done that an hour ago. Like, get the fuck to bed. I'm going to sleep. Like, how am I supposed to with this all the time? And like, those old school computers were like
a screen, like, it's so illuminated, it was ridiculous.
And those, like, the computer, I mean, they still do them, but the computers back then, like, running a disk was like, like, the
god forbid you had to log on to the internet while she was doing that, and you had to go through the whole modem thing.
It's insane.
It was ridiculous.
Like, I couldn't imagine, like, if I had kids now, I'd be like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, like, we, you know, you have a kid right now. Scotia. We'll use Scotia as an example. She needs to go on the laptop in your room, and she's, like, playing a game until 11 p.m., and you're trying to get to bed. And then, like, you know, you somehow you get to sleep, and you wake up 12:30. She's still on there. The screen's, like, looking at you. Just be like, what the fuck? Go to bed. How did Mom not, like, just beat us, like, at that point? Like, this is ridiculous. Get out.
It's not like Mom went to bed early. She'd stay up late watching horse shit all the time.
Yeah, that was the real advantage to it. I can't remember. There was a lot of gaming the system going on in our house. Because I remember even, like, there were points where I would be able to stay up late playing video games. Like, especially on my, like, Game Boys or something like that. Because as long as I didn't make noise, Mom was so engrossed into television, she wouldn't even be aware I was in the room with her.
Really?
I remember a point when Small Soldiers was about to come out. And I don't know why I was so excited about that movie.
The Rodeo Burger.
Yes, maybe that was it. I was like, thank God the Rodeo Burger. And I think it was because it was a movie about toys. And I was like, it's going to be like Toy Story. It was not. But
no.
It was the day before it came out. We were up. I think maybe all of us were there, but it was definitely a school night. We were up watching Golden Girls episodes, and I waited until the clock turned 12, and then I shouted out in excitement, you know, Toys, Small Soldiers is out. Mom, like, turned to be like, go to bed. And it was definitely like, you didn't know I was here until now. It is midnight.
Yeah.
How are you this, like, it's not like it's television today, too, where you can just fast forward the commercials. Like, there's 2 minutes every 10 minutes that's just bullshit you don't care about and you can't afford that you still didn't recognize that your kid's just laying on the couch beside you. Like, it's, how did we get away with this for this long?
It's weird. I think all three of us still have, like, definitely a part of that, like, gigging the system and, like, how much can I get away with? I definitely see myself at work sometimes where I have to, like, stop myself, like, just because you can get away with it doesn't mean you should do it.
There was a philosophy. I was like, that seems to be what life's really all about. How many rules you can break without getting caught. And I was like,
how far did these bend? Yeah. Like, at Sears is definitely like, how many times can I just, like, sit down and go on dating websites before someone walks by and says something?
That was a lot of me at Target. There was a lot of points where I'd just go in the back room and just walk around for a while. And I'd just be like, I guess I should go back out and actually have a presence on the floor. But it was always be like, if someone asks, like, oh, hey, where, you know, someone's not at the boat, what are you doing? Be like, checking inventory. Something like that. They're like, well, sounds like a reasonable answer.
In the basement.
Yeah, no. Good times.
I feel like it's definitely been a lot of us just kind of gigging the system.
Giggity. Any other topics you wanted to bring up?
No, this feels like it's been a long one, has it?
Yeah, been about an hour or 20. Coming up on?
No.
Gay marriage, finally legal.
Yeah, I guess we should. Good for them, man.
There was a part of me that when I heard it was announced, I was disappointed that I wasn't back in my former position because it's right across the street from Stallions.
Would you have?
Well, not like go over and party with them, but I want, like, I wanted to see if they're doing anything special for it. But I remember when gay marriage was legalized.
Oh, they're blowing each other outside.
When gay marriage was legalized in Pennsylvania, I went outside on my lunch specifically to go over to see, like, oh, are they doing anything crazy over there? Nothing. I was so disappointed in the gay community. I was like, you are known for being, like, parties and just ridiculousness. I was expecting to go outside and it's, like, dudes in short shorts and, like, mesh tank tops. Like,
oh, yeah. Like if I was gay, I'd be like, fuck this. I'm leaving work right now.
Yeah, I would have immediately, like, torn off my shirt and, like, oomced my way over to, like, Stallion. Like, boop, boop.
Fanny Foxtrot.
Yeah, like, I have, like, a, like, police siren on my head that just, like, honks at dudes. Like, boop, boop.
Pull over and take off your shirt.
It was ridiculous. I was so disappointed. I was like, come on. This is a very tempered and reasonable reaction to, like, a normal dude's thing. You're gay. You're flamboyant. You're ridiculous.
It is. It's insane.
Live up to my stereotypes, goddammit.
You're supposed to. You see, like, I threw up a dance, magic dance by David Bowie. Like, here you go, gay guys. Dance it up. I did that thing and it was, like, supportive. The next day I was like, is that just offensive? Then I'm like, here's some, like, queer 80s dance song.
No, it's Michael Bowie. I think everybody, or David Bowie, I think everybody would be pretty on board with
that. Well, let's say, if I got any right on a Friday afternoon.
I would have been gone. I'd have been like, you guys have had marriage forever. We just got it, so I'm going to go celebrate. Like, get married? Oh, God, no. But I am going to do jello shots off a dude's butthole for the next 3 hours. Dance, magic,
magic. Power the babe. Who do? You do. We do. I blow. But then I pretend like I'm not going to blow him. Then I end up blowing him anyway.
Oh, man.
Good for you, gay people.
About damn time.
Larry's brother's approval. Yeah, it seems shocking that so much has changed in 5 years.
It's insane the speed of which things are changing. Because I think all of us when we were kids have that point where you're just like, man, our adult sounds so old. I'm never going to be like that. But even like just earlier in this podcast, they were talking about how like crazy it's going to be like to be a kid. Now to be like, man, you guys have no idea. You never had to watch the same thing as someone else just because it was the only thing on. And I just keep thinking like, man, I feel like I'm only 26. Like, I'm not ancient at this point, but it's still just like, wow, I feel old compared to like how kids work today.
Yeah.
Particularly now because this gay marriage thing got appealed, a lot of the younger people I know, like we have particular younger cousins or, you know, things of that nature, who are like, you know, applauding themselves like, finally, we're the generation that got this right. And I remember I wrote an article when I was a senior in high school about gay marriage. And like I used that line there, like, we're a generation of change. Like, we're going to make this better. I was like, oh, like reading it now, I'm like, oh, what a fucking cocky douche I was. Like, we're the generation that's going to make this better.
That's hilarious.
I was just like, oh, like I actually like I was like leading a movement, like being the fat kid in the back of class if she thought new movies just because I referenced a couple Liam Neeson lines.
That's awesome.
It was it was pretty sad, and good for the gay people.
Good for them.
I guess gay people, huh? Is that derogatory?
Gay people?
If I say like, so. I was gonna be like, good for the gays, but I was like, is that? Because I was told one time like, you can't say Jews. Jews is derogatory. That's like a racist term.
But Jews, okay. I mean, it's definitely true for black. Blacks.
Yeah. If I'm just offensive. Like, you go blacks.
Yeah. I almost when I put that David Bowie up, you know, as a joke, I was almost like, way to go, faggots, you did it.
I definitely would have avoided that at all costs.
And I was like, is that not...
I've been a little...
I bet there's 20 people that think that is drop-dead hilarious, but the vast majority...
I've been sweating bullets the fact you've dropped it like 3 times on this podcast already. I'm hoping nobody has this plane at work.
Have I said faggot 3 times on this podcast?
Well, this is like 5 now.
Did I say it a bunch?
It was a couple times at the start of it.
Oh, well. Well, good for you, faggots. You got it. I refuse to let PC take another word. You can take the N-word, but we can't give him a second.
Obama started using it on podcasts. Clearly that's ushering in the way. I think the N-word can start.
I think that was the point he was trying to make. It's like, more people use it. It's fun.
It's not, we've taken the power away from it. More white people can use it, which is clearly the only thing they care about.
If you've listened to at least 50 episodes of WTF, you can definitely start using it. If you sat through the Tom Arnold episode, you can certainly start using it.
You deserve it at that point. I'm just like, finally, a reward for that.
That horrible episode. If you listen to that episode where that guy tried to saw his own head off with a steak knife for an hour.
Whew. That's definitely the episode that when you have your own depressions you're dealing with, you're like, oh, this was not the episode to listen to. I mean, I guess it's better than I'm definitely aware there's someone out there whose life clearly seems to be worse than I am, even on my lowest days, but holy shit.
That sounds, ooh, my God. Oh,
man, I don't, like, it's like you've plucked somebody who was like me on their worst day and you put them in a podcast and gave them a mic and just like told them like, yeah, just tell everybody how shit thing
on a day that's probably like a 6 for him.
Yeah, but clearly he was comfortable enough to not be hanging himself while the conversation was happening.
He should have for work talked about muffins at the beginning of the podcast.
Yeah, he's like, just like, oh, I was a Scrabble champion at one point and I got ousted from the Scrabble community. Like,
I gotta find that episode again just to see if I can listen to it.
That's almost should become like a Rochambeau bet or something like that. Like you just like a the like fraternity, what do you call it when you get a
hazing,
like a hazing thing. You're just like, yeah, you gotta listen to this podcast. Like, that doesn't sound bad. Oh my God. How long is this? Oh well, it's over now. Oh, he brings him back and he's even more suicidal.
Oh, and make him drunk. Like drink throughout it like that. It's just making it worse and worse.
Oh, God. All right. I think we've... Anything else before we pack it up?
We'll see you back here next week. And in the meantime, I'll try and talk Christopher and maybe into that Jersey Boys DVD commentary. Well, obviously it won't be on the DVD. It obviously won't be on the DVD.
I was like,
they're
not going to start putting it on the DVDs just because we sent it in. Like, dear Mr. Eastwood.
I don't know if I can blow Clint Eastwood enough times in the next month to get that to happen. But
here's a suggestion for you, you old fruit.
Hey.
We did a commentary for your gay-ass movie. Please put it on. Sincerely yours, Just Michael Larius.
He's reading the letter like, oh, from a guy that loves a lot of your movies. He put a lot in quotation marks. That's very flattering.
From a guy who has seen Gran Torino and Jersey Boys in movies, and I only really liked one of them. You can guess which one, quote unquote.
He wrote Dear Gran Torino as though that's the person.
It was not even the character's name in the movie. That was the car. It's not a person's name.
Bale?